Right now, it's time for the Chatham County Roundup, presented by Weaver Street Realty, specializing in local real estate since 1982. Every story is set somewhere. Theirs is right here. And we've got Aaron Hall right here in the studio, helping out with the Chatham County Roundup today. How are you?
Hey, man. How are you? I'm
doing
hoping
good.
To win those tickets.
Yeah, right?
I'm hoping
so. It's going to be an exciting concert. We got dinner thrown in as well. So, yeah, it's a cool prize.
All right, I'm going to get my car when I leave, and I'm going to call back in and see if I make it.
Yeah. That's awesome.
So today, our guest is the coordinator of Chatham Drug Free, Mr. George Gregor Holt. George, welcome to Chatham County Roundup. How are you?
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
So we were talking in the green room before we were coming on. Let's just pick up from where we left off.
Sure.
Things that are happening in Chatham County aren't necessarily unique to Chatham County because it's happening, unfortunately, nationwide. But tell us what your role is. An article just came out in the Chatham News and Record where you and Mike Roberson and sat down and talked about some things. So tell us what your role is and what you're seeing.
Thank you. Well, I've been in Chatham County a pretty long time. I worked previously for the school district. I'm since retired. And when I first came to Chatham County, 84, 85-ish, we noticed there was a significant problem with young people in schools using alcohol, tobacco, and other drugs. So the superintendent at that time, Perry Harrison, was interested in providing some counseling for those students. So that's how I came in. I was the adolescent substance abuse counselor for the Orange Person Chatham Mental Health Center. Some of your listeners may remember when we had a public health mental health system. Mm-hmm. And we developed a several-prong approach to addressing alcohol, tobacco, and other drug use among young people. And I started out as a counselor. I worked in schools, primarily the middle and high schools at the time. And then as time progressed and the situation waxed and waned, we developed lots of different kinds of initiatives.
As we were talking about before we came on, we ask our children, tell our children to be chaste, not to do this, not to do that. But the culture all around us, the movies, the music, everything is all about having vices. How do you contrast that to say, don't do any of this, but now like never before, at a touch of a button, you got
it's
access.
Available.
It's available.
Yeah.
So how do you combat that? Yeah. Saying don't do this, but our culture is all about vices.
Things certainly have changed with the advent of the internet. You know, when I first started in this business, nobody knew anything about an internet. And if you needed to know something, you had to call somebody on telephone. And most of that time, it was a dial-up. What we're trying to encourage parents, people in the community, neighbors, coaches, people of the faith, we're trying to get everybody on the same page to give youngsters the same message. We talked a little bit earlier about the cannabis movement and especially the not only medicinal marijuana, but the recreational marijuana that's mm-hmm. been passed in lots of states right now, and the message that sends to young people. So, and actually we have the same issue with prescription medication. What young people unfortunately see is prescription medication is a great example because you can look on TV and there are all kinds of commercials now for prescription medications. Now, young people don't, all they know is that they're pills. They don't know what they're used for or that they're only.
I don't know what they're used for, and
right,
I've seen the ads.
Right,
like, they're used for running through a field
things.
Of flowers.
Right,
that's all I know.
Right. And so that pill for every ills thing has been propagated by primarily pharmaceutical companies. Mm. And so young people see that because it's advertised. They see people running through the fields looking happy. And so they figured, well, they're helpful for people. They're legal for people. And so they must be safe. And so one of the messages we need to get out to young people is, and I do this when I talk to young people about alcohol and tobacco, just because it's legal, you know, tobacco for people 18 and older, mm-hmm. alcohol for people 21 and older, doesn't mean it's safe. And so one thing we need to do is we need to help young people see that these things we're talking about, pharmaceutical medications, prescription medications, and now cannabis or marijuana or weed or what we mm-hmm. used to call weed, now it's got a fancy name, cannabis, but that just because it's legal in some places, it doesn't mean it's safe. So And that's a hard message to get, because what young people want to believe is that it is safe and that they can use it without consequence. And that just isn't true.
I was gonna ask a couple of minutes ago, how has your work changed in the last 30 plus years as substance abuse has changed? You were talking about alcohol and tobacco, and recently we've talked not that long ago the crisis with methamphetamines. Now it's the opioid crisis, and the Chatham News and Record story was kind of getting back to cocaine, which was an issue earlier. But from what you said, it doesn't sound like too much has changed. It's what's advertised, right? You've got tobacco and alcohol being advertised in the 80s, and that's what people are going for then. And now you've got prescription medication being advertised now, and that's what people are going for.
Right, right. It's, I liken it to whack-a-mole.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, one drug pops up right now, it's opioids.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to that, it was methamphetamines. So we whacked down methamphetamines, and we sort of fell asleep, and opioids came, popped up. If you look at the, since you referenced the article in the newspaper and the big bust there in Chatham County, many of those folks that were busted for methamphetamine.
Mm-hmm.
I believe there were only one or two that were opioid or heroin.
Right.
So, we sort of, in this country, we have a funny thing about, that's kind of the problem of the day. And so if you forget about the problem that you think that you've gotten under control, then that problem pops back up. And that's what we're seeing right now, is methamphetamine is coming. And then they're cutting methamphetamine with fentanyl. And, fentanyl is a drug that's killed a lot of people.
And there's a horse fentanyl. But to your point, what has changed is now we've put certain things in place to help people with addiction issues, which wasn't necessarily around.
Yes.
And to the other point, and not to discredit the work of the fine officers in Chatham, but isn't that low-hanging fruit? Because if we're not getting the people bringing in tons of heroin, tons of cocaine, although the busts are good, you're only scratching the surface. And to the other point, and we said this in the other room, is that in the 1980s, when crack was ravaging different neighborhoods, it was just black folks killing black folks, and I could use a lot of other words to describe how it was described then. It wasn't, where are the different sources to help the community? It was completely not like that. Mm-hmm. That has also changed,
that
and that
is
along
change,
racial lines, in my opinion.
Right.
You know?
Well, the whole thing with the crack cocaine epidemic is, I think people in law enforcement especially approach that as a law enforcement issue.
Mm-hmm.
And we have always known, we meaning people in the addiction field, have always known that this thing is a disease and should be approached either through a public health model or through a medical health model. And so maybe we've learned that, I don't know. But there still is this propensity for people to think that, and Sheriff Robertson's really good about saying, we're not going to be able to arrest our way out of this problem. It's got to be a combination of strategies. Of course, my strategy is prevention, and I was saying earlier, it's likened to if you're at a waterfall and there are people coming down the river and you have a dip net and you're dipping people out of the river, you're going to do that all day. And you're going to get most of them, but some of them you're not, and they're going to fall over the waterfall. If you just walk upstream, then maybe you'll notice that the fence is broken and you need to fix the fence. Once you fix the fence, then not as many people, it doesn't mean people aren't going to climb over the fence, because some of them will, but most of the people won't climb over that fence. And that's how we have to, I believe, how we, one of the approaches to solving this issue. I think we look at a continuum. So there's prevention on the one side, and then sort of in the middle is intervention, and intervention is either medical or physical health intervention, or it could also include some legal interventions, and then you have treatment.
Mm-hmm.
And all three of those have to have equal weight in order to really address the issue, in my opinion.
You mentioned getting to the root of how we get to the root of these causes. What is your, not that there is one answer, but what is your approach? Because as we said, a root has many different root systems going from that. So what is the root to get to this, you think?
Yeah. Well, I think that community is a real important aspect. And young people, especially, so my world's young people, so that's how I think and who I think about. Young people, I think with all of the influences we've talked about earlier, really need adults to step up and give guidance. Family first, but community and neighborhood as well. Because when young people hear consistent messages from adults, then more than likely they will accept and live by those messages. So that's one thing that needs to be done.
And what about the adults though who are dealing with their own issues of addiction?
Yeah, but very difficult problem. And a lot of times with young people, when you finally get their trust and get talking to them about what's really going on, a lot of times there'll be addiction in their family, either parents, grandparents, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles. So, and oftentimes they will see the ravage that the drug has done to their loved one. And that's really helpful to help them, if they don't see it, to help them identify, or if they do see it, then to help them process. You know, we talk about this thing as a disease, and nobody starts using drugs thinking they're going to get addiction. Mm-hmm. But that's how the disease works. So a lot of times with young people, I'll talk about the stages of addiction. So, you know, people don't wake up one day and decide they're going to have addiction. You know, it's a process, and people go through stages that are identifiable. And I teach young people that so that they maybe can identify it within themselves, hopefully, although a lot of young people don't have that kind of insight. But maybe they'll see it in a relative, maybe they'll see it in a sibling. But it will give them some idea about how this thing progresses so that they can see it for what it is, and that's a progressive, chronic, and fatal disease.
In the article, it mentions socioeconomic lines. We know that whether you're rich, poor, substance abuse, addiction has really no racial or economic prejudices to it. But in the article that we've been referencing, there was a statement mentioned that perhaps those in a lower level of socioeconomics are more prone to be busted, to be found out in the community, as opposed to those of more means. What do you think about that?
Yeah, well, I think that's true. But years ago, when I worked at the mental health center here and over by Northside, some of your listeners will know where Northside is and maybe remember the Northside Clinic. Our director of substance abuse services, Dr. Tim Slavin, would say that he worries about young people that have unsupervised time and access to means, so primarily money. Mm-hmm. So if you have that combination of money and unsupervised time, that's a recipe for disaster. And unfortunately, what happens in more affluent communities is that's pretty common. You know, I mean, it's your listeners will probably know people who from this community who leave their 16, 17, 18-year-old at home, maybe a brother and sister, maybe, you know, a couple siblings, go off to vacation somewhere for a week and then come back and expect that everything's going to be hunky-dory. Well, sometimes that happens, but a lot of times, you know, these youngsters are youngsters. And if you give a youngster a nice house with no supervision,
and guess an open liquor cabinet.
Guess what's going to happen? Right, half of Chapel High School is going to be there.
Yeah.
Or in our community, I've seen those movies. Half of Northwood High School is going to be there. Now, I have a daughter who's now 32, but when she was in high school, she went over to a friend's house. Just one quick story, and this is in Pittsburgh, and they were going to just have a couple people over. You know, they weren't going to do any drinking, weren't no smoking weed, as far as I know. And you know, an hour later, there's 75 people in the house.
Mm-hmm. I never went to parties like that.
No, of course not. Right. No. I want to keep talking. Right. I want to keep talking about this forever, but we've got to wrap up. We're with George Gregor Holt. You're with Chatham Drug Free. How can people find out more?
Chatham Drug, www.chathamdrugfree.org is our website. We also have a Facebook page, Chatham Drug Free. Feel free to call me, 919-545-5333. That's my cell phone. It works sometimes at my house since Chatham County, we're still in the country.
You always reply to email very fast as
and,
well.
And email GGREGER-HO. I'm sorry, scratch that, folks. GGREGERHOLT@gmail.com.
Just like it sounds.
Yeah, just like it sounds.
Please feel free to contact me. I'm more than happy to talk to anybody about anything that has to do with alcohol, tobacco, other drugs, prevention, intervention, treatment. We have a host of other folks in Chatham County who are working on it. Sheriff has a coalition. We have the Chatham Drug Free Coalition. We're beating our heads against the wall, but like my mother used to say, I got a hard head. So I've been doing it for 35 years.
ChathamDrugFree.org for more. George Gregor Holt, thank you so much.
Thank you, George.
Aaron Hall, thank you so much.
I really appreciate it. Yeah. Thanks, y'all.
And that's been the Chatham County Roundup, made possible by Weaver Street Realty, specializing in local real estate since 1982. Every story is set somewhere. Theirs is right here. Find them online at WeaverStreetRealty.com.